morning, folks. This is Scott, your host at Sharing the Burden. We're live at 102.9 FM, whistlefm.com, formerly Whistle Radio. Sharing the Burden believes in life recovery. We are a life recovery group, and we follow the 12 steps of sharing the burden to support the hurting. All are welcome at our meetings. We hold weekly meetings in several locations. Check out sharingtheburden.ca to find the meeting closest to you, or start your own. And we need one in Stouffville soon. Welcome back, Sue and Todd.
Hi. Well, thank you.
Good morning, Scott.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm great.
Good.
Good to see you guys. And you people can't see them, but they're bright and cheery. And I don't know what's going to come out of them. Sue says she's got a cold, but she looks on fire to me, as usual. So we're going to get by, and we're going to talk about amends again, at least partly. You know, we may go off on a tangent, and that's good, because our tangents take us to wherever the higher power in this universe, God Almighty for some of us, whatever that determination decides, that's where we'll end up. So, but we'll start with amends. And when we just look at that word, you know, fixing, bringing things back, recovering, restoring, you know, and that's what I think an amend does when it's done properly. When a life is amended, which it never is, I guess, fully, mm-hmm. on this side of things. You know, we talk about emotional sobriety, and those kind of things all fall into the same area for me. If we're emotionally sober, we're probably pretty well amended. We're probably pretty well relationally. We're probably pretty well, and everything is really important to us. So, but when you guys think of amends, you know, like, and we're programmed people to varying degrees and for varying reasons. Can you think of the biggest one you've had to make, either originally, you know, if there's one bigger than others, and you know, and I don't think you have to go on that line, but if there's one bigger than others, or if there's a recurring kind of thing that you find yourself making amends for as time goes on. So I'll give you a little bit of latitude there. And Sue, why don't we start with you?
Oh, geez, wow. I was going to think about that. I was going to defer that over.
No, you're good, Sue.
Wow. And I'm really actually not shocked, but I wish you wouldn't open up that can of worms, Scott. It was funny. I think the last time when I was on the radio, you said something about sometimes I got to go back and make the same amends or work the same fourth and fifth around the same person. And I'm like, I don't have to do that, but I'm here to tell you that I do. And I'm really raw today, not that to the fact that my throat is raw and I'm not feeling well. I'm really raw emotionally. It's been a really challenging 2 weeks, and I've done a lot of step work in the last couple of weeks, and I really believe the only the only reason that I'm at peace and that I'm in sober mind. When I think of soberness, I think of, you know, soundness of mind. It's not just about not having alcohol or not having, it means soundness of mind, seeing myself in the right perspective. And, I can tell you that that's definitely where I'm at right now. And I feel like I've been in a really vulnerable position in the last couple of weeks. But I'm gonna try to talk about the ones that's not so, not going to cut me to the core today. One of the amends that I've done for is against my father. I've done a lot of fourth and fifth steps. My fourth step is made a fearless moral inventory of myself, and then what I get to do is find out how I interacted with that person and what was the exact nature of my wrongs, and I go and amend that behavior. And so, you know, over the years of me being in recovery, I've done a lot of work around my father. My father's kind of, I hate to say my core issue, but it was my core issue, not feeling good enough, not feeling valuable. And that comes out in all my other step work, always. I don't know why. There's always this pattern that comes up, but sorry. Most recently, I've had to amend the behaviors from many years ago. You know, I was laughing. I've had the same sponsor for a really long time now, 16, 17 years maybe. I've been friends with her for 25 years. And when I think about sponsorship, I probably have lots to say today, which I didn't think I would. Surprise. That's a surprise, isn't it, guys? No. You know what? That's why it's so important to have the same sponsor and make a connection with somebody and develop that relationship, because my sponsor knows me so well. I'm so grateful for the sponsor that I have, because she has listened to so much stuff that I've gone through over these last 17 years that I've known her. And one of the amends, my ex-spouse just recently passed away last week. We did a funeral service for him on Sunday. Sorry. And I've done so many. We were talking, how many step four and fives have you done around him? And I've probably done 10, maybe. Oh, my goodness. And
let me just ask you, around the ex-husband or around your...
My ex-spouse, my daughter's father, right? You know, we split up 18 years ago. He's my ex-spouse of 18 years. And I've done a lot of work on him. And I didn't think anything would come up. But over this whole funeral and his death and planning stuff. Last week I ripped skin off of 3 different funeral home people. Like, when I mean rip skin, oh, Scott, it was not pretty. You know, I was like adamant, very pushy, very aggressive, very verbally, I'm coming down there, you better get him in. Like, it was not nice, right? So in that, I kind of broke down on Wednesday, and then I just kind of shut down. I shut down because I was at the end of my rope. I couldn't cope no more. And out of that, I started getting into the solution, which was doing some step work. Now, I did step work around the funeral home and how they screwed up. Damn them, that funeral home. And I screwed up and I started writing around them. But what came up there was my stuff to do with my ex-spouse, who I've done 10 step four and fives around, right? And I'm getting to the amend part. You know, I feel that this whole process of this funeral, that I've been a part of and watching my daughter grieve and me grieve too, I've been able to amend a mistake I made 18 years ago. Still, after all this time, I never forgave myself for the mistake I made when we split up, and it was really nasty when we split up. And, you know, you know, if you don't do the work, you know, I was dying inside emotionally with all that stuff in the last couple of days, and it was manifesting itself in all kinds of different ways. I made it like, you know, I'm trying to protect my daughter and plan things and, you know, and how dare people do this and that. And really underneath it all was I was still having that guilt come up, unforgiveness towards myself. And when I'm like that, I feel threatened. And when I feel threatened, I'm going to hurt you because I don't know what else to do, right? And, you know, I feel like I'm a little bit of an expert in the amends department, right? You know, I had to go to these people in the funeral, and I did it instantaneously. Good thing, you know, I didn't sit on it right away. I knew, I wasn't very nice to them. Two people, I made 2 amends in one day to 2 different funeral people that I didn't even know, to one girl at one location, one at the other, because just my behaviors. That's not okay. It's not okay for me to rip skin off of people. I wasn't rude. I didn't swear at them, but I wasn't nice to them. I can tell you that much, right? And, you know, the bottom line is, and then I met the other guy, the third guy that I ripped skin off of, right? And I met him on Sunday at the funeral, and I made amends Saturday to him on the phone. And I went up to him, and he says, you know, like, I understand, but I'm sorry. I didn't tell him the reasons why I behave the way I behave. But when I think of amends, I think of ownership. I think of owning my behavior, owning what it does to me, owning the things that come up in me. Because you can only shove stuff down so long. It's going to come out. It's going to come out some way. And, you know, I feel today like I am in emotional sobriety, even though it's been a really vulnerable 2 weeks. It's been a very painful 2 weeks. A lot of growth. When I was driving up here, I was thinking about, you know, I had to be emptied out. I had to be broken. I had to be at the end of my rope. I had to be beyond hope. I had to be hopeless. Wednesday night, I kind of hit a brick wall and I just shut down. But when I get there, guess what happens? When I get to that stage within myself, then God says, okay, now you're ready. Yeah. Now you're ready. And I'm going to do some healing in you. And now you're ready. I'm going to move in on the scene and I'm going to do all the things that I have said for you. He's spoken many promises over my life and he wants good things for me. And today I woke up and one of my meditations today was about you're inscribed on the palm of my hand. God knew a long time ago that this was going to happen. I don't think he's a part of my ex dying. And dying a tragic death of a drug overdose. That's not what it's about. But he knew that that day was going to come in. He knew that I had to go through that. And that pain and all that grief to come up in order for me to be in a beautiful place today. It's time. 18 friggin' years. It's time, right? So he takes the darkness and he turns it around. And I know I kind of got off topic about a lot of different things. But, you know, that's what this work does for me. That's what this amending. And I know through this whole process of the funeral, the one thing I did do right from the beginning, even though I acted like a little lunatic halfway through, one thing I did is I made a living amends to my ex. I honored him so much at his funeral. Honored him through my daughter. We grieved for 2 weeks making boards and doing all these wonderful healing, grieving, I don't even know what you want to call it, stuff together with each other. And what a better way to make a living amends to her father, just to honor him in her eyes and honor him through the service and honor him with the family. And I felt they made an amends to his family too, because I was very instrumental in being, you know, we all were drawn together through. So it's really, you know, God is good, even though it was a painful, it's a pain, it's not over yet, right? But, you know, I feel like I'm climbing up the mountain, mm-hmm. and we are on the road to recovery. That's for darn sure.
Yeah, right? you're on track, and that's very powerful. Thanks for your ability to and your courage to share all of that. You know, even in such tragedy, seeds are sown of wonder, of greatness, of overcoming and conquering, and all these things. You know, and that exemplifies that. You know, and the fact that you can fix so many parts of your life as a result of tragedy, you know, and I lived that. I still live that every day, you know, and it's wonderful. It's powerful. It's, you know, I mean, for believers, whatever you believe in, I mean, you know, there's another realm and, you know, with any kind of luck, we get to the right part of that at the end of the day.
I've been thinking a lot about that, right?
You know? And, yeah, so do I. And, I mean, you know, and I think it's timeless on the other side of things, however that works. And in a timeless zone, this is already consideration and done and all of that. So, I mean, reality is, you know, we just get, for whatever reason, to learn some more as we go through the things like you just went through.
I'm kind of amazed, too, of God's timing and his perfect plan. Not only his perfect plan for me. Like, I just, this morning, I just feel just overwhelmed with his perfect plan for me.
Yeah.
Just, it's just so freaking perfect. Everything that has happened in the last 2 weeks, my sponsor, we've just been bawling. She says, Sue, I'm so proud. She's known me for so long, and she's known how much work. She says, oh, my gosh, this is just so beautiful. Not only that, my daughter, I can't believe how strong my daughter is. She's done so wonderful. And he's got another daughter, that drew them together. There's been it's a horrible tragedy, somebody dying of a drug overdose. Absolutely friggin' horrible. Nobody should have to do that. And nobody plans on dying of a drug overdose, right? I understand all about that far too well. But out of all of that, out of that darkness, God takes that darkness. And not only does he move in my life, I just see him moving in my life in a mighty way. I don't know how he's moving in other people. My daughter was talking about, you know, Mom, I might go to Naranon. Oh, wow. Like, that's a miracle. And not only that, I've been able to make a living amends to my own children, my daughter and my other children that watch me, to be able to make a living amends for my screw up as a parent of being a drug addict parent who made a lot of mistakes with them, right? And God's working out his perfect plan for everybody else that's involved in Doug's life. And the other thing, I just want to say one of the, he's been involved on and off with a girl for many, many years. And I had an amends around her. She came up a lot in this fourth and fifth that I did in the last, these three fourths and fifths that I did in the last couple of days. And she's using.
Yeah.
Oh, no. And I'm so afraid that she's going to OD too. And I'm so afraid that her son, who's a little bit older than my daughter, is going to be standing at her coffin. And she lost her twin sister in May to a drug overdose. I've been praying for her left, right, and center because I do not want that to happen. And I said some unkind things to her, right? So I, down the road, when God's timing, I will have to make an amends to her too. But having said that, hopefully I have just been praying that God has a perfect plan for her. And maybe this is the catalyst that would help her to get clean. And maybe I've just been praying for his divine intervention in her life so that she doesn't have to be another statistic in this, you know, tragically in this war on drug and this epidemic with the opiate crisis that we have in our city, right?
Yeah. It's horrible. Wow. Thanks again, Sue. And by the way, folks, that whole opiate, you know, epidemic, whatever you want to call it, is so serious. I mean, this fentanyl and carfentanil are just ruining lives left, right, and center. And it's appearing in areas that it should not, you know. I mean, there's an evil sense out there, even in the drug dealer who would lace anything with something that, you know, can kill an elephant if you don't put it in properly. You know what I mean? So, but anyway, that's where we are. And Todd, let's hear from you.
I just want to tag on to what you just said there. We have to remember too that we're dealing with, you know, we're talking about drug dealers. So we're not talking about the highest morality.
No.
You know, they're
really?
Not the highest on the morality pole. So, you know, what they do with their stuff is what they do. But Susan, that's a wonderful thing to hear there, your experience with amends and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm so sorry to hear about your ex-husband.
Yeah.
And it's obvious, you know, you did have some unfinished business there.
Yeah, geez.
And, you know, sometimes God will put us in places. We don't always want to be there, you know. But God sometimes says, you know, you need to deal with this. And there's no time like the present.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a firm believer,
yeah.
You know, that when a time has come, when the time is right, the teacher will appear, you know. And that teacher comes in many forms. And in your case, you know, it's God saying, Susan, let's deal with this now, right? My experience with amends is, you know, I want to say that by the time I got to that part in my recovery process, I had done a whole lot of work on Todd.
Yeah.
You know, I admitted there was a problem. That, you know, my codependence and my addiction had taken over my life, you know, and I knew I was powerless.
Yeah.
I believed it. I accepted it, you know, and then I, you know, went on to, you know, turn my life and my will over to a power greater than me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And further on, you know, I did my amends list, you know, I met with my God, my higher power.
Yeah.
And, you know, my higher power gave me those promises, you know. When I got to step 9, and I say this all the time, and I heard you say it just the last time we were together here, you know, I had better hope that by the time I've gotten to step 9, that there's been a change in me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The prerequisite for apologizing is that I'm not going to do that again.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? I'm sorry for what I've done.
Yeah.
You know? How can I make it right? And, you know, I need to make it right, and I better have been prepared coming to the table to make that amend of exactly what am I making amends for.
Yeah.
Right? And what I'm willing to do.
Yeah, what did you know.
What did I do? What harm did I cause?
Yeah.
Right? And a lot of times, there's a whole lot of harms there that have happened that I'm not even aware of.
Exactly.
So I give the person an opportunity, right? Is there anything I left out? And you know, and finally, how can I make it right?
Yeah.
My experience has been 9 times out of 10, when I come to that place with that individual, first of all, they will see the change in me a lot sooner than I will.
Yeah.
Right? They know if I'm genuine. I know if I'm genuine.
Yeah.
But if I'm not genuine, I just better not go.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's going to show. Right? When I make an amend, it's not about the other person.
No.
Exactly.
First and foremost, I'm cleaning up my side of the street.
Yeah.
And I've had some wonderful, wonderful experiences, you know, with that. One of my brothers, you know, I cut him out of my life for 15 years.
Whoa.
15 years of our lives were lost because of my ego.
Yeah.
My codependence did that, right? I robbed him of my presence. In the grand scheme of things, he had nothing to do with it. Nothing.
Yeah.
My ego was run a riot, you know? And, when I did that work, you know, all the steps, he was my first one to make an amend to.
Wow.
And, it was the biggest one because I was fearful that he was not going to accept it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, I needed to address this. Right? And you know, God put us together in a very undesirable, if you would, situation. And, the amend went wonderful. You know, it was textbook. right? And we've been very, very close ever since. You know, it gave us the miracle, right? But, you know, I keep saying this, that there had better be some change in me before I start making that amend.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It just doesn't, it's not going to work.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And I have to be willing.
Yeah.
I have to be willing to make that change. Yeah. Right? And,
perfect.
You know, it's great. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you both. We're going to take a quick break here. We're going to defer to our line man over there, Mr. Jay Rumble. And, by the way, folks out there, Jay is right in on this. He's looking at the same information we're looking at. And it seems that we've got a room full of...
Terms? Terms? Don't share my mic, okay? You'll be fine if you keep on your mic and I'll put my terms over here.
What are we going to do, Jay, before we all die here?
Well, I'll make sure to edit this for the repeat on Sunday.
Yeah, that's thank
the,
you.
That's the beauty of rebroadcasting the show, is that we can take out all the mistakes that we make on the live
show. Beautiful.
And but now we're going to go to some commercials, so stay tuned to Sharing the Burden here on Whistle FM.